This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Lather Talk with your hosts, John Shea and Gerard Gustilo.
Well, listeners, welcome back to another episode of Lather Talk. We have two very special guests for you. First, I'd like to introduce to you a guest host for Gerard, as Gerard is traveling. So I'd like to welcome Nate from Instagram's BBS Live. Nate, welcome. Thank you for sitting in the guest host spot.
Oh, for sure, man. Dude, I'm so excited. Thank you for having me. I'm ready. I'm prepared.
He is prepared.
Knob Creek,
For the audio listeners, that was Knob Creek 12 year.
I got Cheers. My whiskey wisdom glass. Cheers.
Cheers. I got my water.
And I have about I have six Gentleman Nod soaps right by me that I can show off. So.
Oh, excellent. Okay. I do love that you kind of knew the assignment and brought some visual aids. So I have it also here on the screen. Again, you can follow Nate and Mel live on, when they're live on Instagram at bbs.live. So that's
what. And Brandon.
I'm sorry, Brandon.
No, but that's okay, because that just happened on Thursday. So yeah, Brandon.
It was just made official. Longtime collaborator and now official part of the show, Brandon Shaves. So congrats, Brandon. Yes.
The best hair of BBS Live.
That is true. That's right.
That's right. The best hair of BBS Live. Mm-hmm. And that voice you heard there, the voice you heard there is our main guest for today. We have Chris from Gentleman's Nod. Chris, welcome to the show. So good to have you on Lather Talk.
Just excited to be here, and just excited to kind of share a little bit more about what we do, and get to know your audience and talk to you guys a little bit.
Awesome. Well, again, we're so happy to have you. Just to kick things off, do you think you could give us kind of a little intro to Gentleman's Nod for someone who might be new to wet shaving or just not familiar with the company?
So we've been in operation actually since we started just before the end of 2018. So we've been around for a little while now. We didn't really officially kind of launch out there into the more public space until April of 2019. And that was with Big Shave Southwest, an event that's put on that used to be put on, we haven't had one in quite a while now, but by Phoenix Shaving out there in Phoenix, Arizona. Mm-hmm. But that was just a great introduction to kind of when we first started. And, my goal is, I've been making soap for about 7 years or so now, but really introduced our products and our soaps in 2019. But as time has gone on, we've kind of focused more on the fragrance side of things and kind of let that lead the way. We, certainly want to make sure that we have the best products that we possibly can in both the, shaving space, the beard space, but also that are kind of unique in terms of fragrance offerings. We do all of our own original fragrances and really try to, bring something unique and excellent there to the marketplace.
Yeah. Your base is no slouch, so your fragrances are great, but your base is top tier as well. So
thank you. I'm slightly obsessed there as well. It's, I think once you get to meet, so, I mean, I think a lot of artisans are really this way too. They, you know, it's just, sometimes people have to tell me, just stop. Just it's
as far as the tinkering goes.
Yes, yes. But I think a lot of us are, you know, kind of, you know, creative and tinkerers and creative at heart, and you know that lends itself to, you know, constant innovation, and which can be good, but at the same time, it's like there's a point where it's like, yeah, you just need to let it go for a while.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but are you based out of Omaha, Nebraska?
We are. So I'm born and raised in Southern California. I actually lived in Southern California for almost my entire life. I mean, most of my life at this point. We've been back in Omaha here for, I guess, maybe 13 or so years. But okay. I mean, not to give away my age or anything like that, but most of my life has been in Southern California. Yep.
Gotcha. And what, so what first brought you out to that area then, from and made the move?
I met a little lady in San Diego who is a Nebraska native, and we ended up moving back here as her family was kind of all moving back to the Omaha area, and
okay,
you know, looking to start a family and that kind of thing, and cost of living is a little bit cheaper in Omaha.
I bet
we had a house just outside of LA at the time, and we're like, we start a family and, you know, maybe one of us doesn't work, how is this going to work? So yeah,
right.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for tackling that question. I know sometimes it could be various reasons, but you know, to move for a loved one, so great to hear. That being said, what do you miss most about California?
Oh, you know what? I love the beach. I mean, I you know, most people can tell by looking at me, I look like a Southern California boy. I mean, that's really what I am. I'm blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, grew up surfing, that kind of thing. So the ocean, hands down, not too many oceans around here. If you're familiar with our geography here in the United States.
Oh, the ocean. Are you, I forget if we talked about food in the past and just in our, you know, in our personal conversations, but like any major food, because I mean, man, like especially LA area. I know we talked about like Korean barbecue for whatever reason it came up, but is there, I mean, how's the Mexican food comparatively?
So, in general, the Mexican food here in Omaha, I mean, it's just not even like in the same ballpark as Southern California.
I was afraid that was the answer. I'm sorry.
You have very small pockets in South Omaha. There's a large Hispanic population there, and they actually do have some pretty fantastic Mexican food. But outside of that, nope. It's bad.
So Chris, I did want to mention, I remember when you guys kind of first hit the scene and kind of the buzz. And I'm curious if any of this feedback, like the early feedback, made it back to you. Because I want to say like a good chunk of at least the circles I ran in were like wary of, because how slick like your presentation was as far as like labels go. you know, like you had your template down. So it wasn't anything flashy, but you know, like it was definitely well designed. The color, you know, branding colors. Nate is holding up a tub of Earnest, and it, of course, packaging has changed and evolved over time. But yeah, so like right out the gate, it's like it was very polished, Chris, and I'm sure you know this because you spent time developing that. But did that feedback ever get to you, where like, you know, like wet shavers were like, oh, I don't know about this gentleman's nod?
No, you know what? It's really interesting. So I mean. I don't know how much this tells about me either, but I didn't have an Instagram account until I started the account for Gentleman's Nod. Okay. So in general, you know, I'm not super familiar with social media, that kind of thing. So, you know, when I started my wet shaving journey, I was on the forums a little bit. I mean, this goes back years ago, but in general, there's just so many different communities in wet shaving. I would say that I didn't have any conception of that at that time. And even now, you know, there's say newer reviewers come on the scene and, you know, we'll mention in a video or something kind of just what the general consensus is on our products or just kind of what people are saying. And I'm like, I'm glad to hear that, but I haven't heard that. So definitely no. So no.
Again, this is when you first launched too. So
I just try to keep my head down and work and do the best, do the best, you know, bring the best products out that I can possibly bring. That's what I do.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm nothing pretty bad. Old school, man.
Well, you mentioned the forums. I assume kind of like Badger and Blade or like Damn Fine Shave, like
I was on Badger and Blade for a little while, not a ton. Mm-hmm. So Shave Nook. And I guess even one that was a smaller one called the Shave Den. I think it was pretty early after they, I don't remember when exactly they started. So I was really heavy into them kind of, I don't think they had been around that long. But then the Shave Nook, quite a bit. I did like a series on, evaluating fragrances, from a couple artisans, like way, way back when. I mean, this is like when Mike's first came out and yeah.
Okay. Oh God, that was.
So like,
yeah,
there was 2016, 2017. Further back?
No, it was before that.
Mike's been around for a while. Yeah,
2011 or 12, I thought.
Oh,
yeah,
I think.
I did not go far back. Yeah.
I think I would have done that probably. 11 or 12, something like that. Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah, I know. I started wet shaving in 13, and I know Mike's natural was
around
a thing before that.
Okay.
Because he's an OG, as Mel says. He's an OG.
He's an OG. So. Well, I asked about the forums, not so much to like know where you were hanging around, but like, God, we don't want to assume that sometimes the soap makers, fragrance folks aren't necessarily wet shavers, but that's not the case here. Like you use safety razors. I remember, I think when you were trying straight razors, like what's your preference as far as your personal shaves?
So I would say my personal shaves now at this point, I typically use a single edge or double edge razor. I'll use straight razors on occasion, but don't use them. There was a period of time where I used them a lot more regularly, but I typically use single edge or double edge razors at this point. Oddly enough, like, the razor that I've been using the most recently is probably not even like, you know, your typical artisan like razor that everyone's excited about or anything like that. But I got it for travel and I used it the whole time I was on vacation in Florida and just fell in love with it. It was the Leaf's Thorn.
Oh
no.
Nice.
That's a bomb. That's the
it's just so amazing. Easy. It's so
it's
easy.
Best. It's the best leaf razor.
Yeah. I mean, and really for travel, is. It was fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. So for someone not so familiar, I'm talking about myself, with the Leaf offerings, which one is the Thorn?
It's the one that's made for, it's a single edge. So it's, you can only put one of the half safety razor blades in there. You know, the three, like the other one. It's also the one that's a little bit stiffer, made more for face shaving versus leg shaving.
It's a good head shaver too. Very good head shaver.
Oh,
I will never know about that.
So
keeping
John,
the hair,
it's the twig, but the more aggressive version. So they called it the Thorn.
Oh, thank. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
What I like about it also is, you know, every once in a while, this actually happened this week, but every once in a while I'll get lazy and not shave for, you know, the good part of a week. And I'll just, you know, just mow things down with that too, actually, believe it or not.
Yeah, it is really a great razor. Everyone should probably, you should probably have one, John, if you haven't tried one. Because they're not that expensive. I think it's like 50, 60. I know you have a ton of stuff. I know you're trying
I was gonna say, folks have been telling me to give it a try, and
it's, I think, on the lesser expensive side.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think 50 or 60 bucks.
I believe they're based in Connecticut too, so they're in the New England area. So I I should, like, you know what I mean, like, show some love to, like, local artisans and whatnot. So I'll add it, especially with Chris's endorsement there.
Yeah. I want to say they were actually at that Big Shave Southwest that we went to when we started. It was either that year or the year because we went to the one the year before and didn't have our products there. I can't remember which one it was, but they were there. So
cool. Speaking of, like, meetups, are you attending the upcoming one in Idaho? That is, is it the Northwest? Apologies, I don't know the Northwest Wet Shaving Meetup.
Yep,
we will be there. You're going to be there, Nate?
No, but I just knew the name.
Yeah,
I know I will not be at that one, unfortunately. But it does sound awesome because we know Bilou from the Canadian Mafia will be there. A lot of the Canadians are going to be there.
Yep.
No, it sounds fun, but no, I will not be there, unfortunately.
Yes, so we will be there, and we will be actually debuting a new fragrance there. New soap / and fragrance. Yep.
Is this the will this be like the fall offering from you guys?
This will be a fall offering. It's actually the exciting thing about it. We do have names for our collections, and, you know, we're kind of filling them out, you know, as we go along. So we've only had one there, and the one that we just released, Bluegrass Muse, you know, was the first in that collection. But we have the Origin series, which everyone should know from Musashi. That was the first release in that series. So this is actually the second release in the Origin series.
Oh, cool.
That's developed around a single heart note, and then it's supposed to, you know, the surrounding notes are either taken from that region or meant to give you the impression of that region. So it's actually going to be coffee.
Ooh.
I was about to ask you. I was going to ask you if you could tease, like, what the heart note is, but
it
coffee.
Is. It's going to be coffee, and if we're talking about Origin series, the birthplace of coffee is some of the coffee lovers out there will know it as Sidamo, which is in Ethiopia, or actually now it's called Sidama. So it's called Sidama.
Okay.
Yep.
Very awesome.
I'm intrigued. Awesome. You have my attention.
Yeah.
Much darker. For those of you that have been looking for a darker offering from us, there you go.
I feel like someone asked that. I feel like you already answered a question from one of the listeners. So, all right, very nice.
I'm intrigued because it is tough. I mean, those coffee scents are tough, but I know it's not just a coffee scent with
no, it's not just coffee.
There's a bunch of notes in there that will.
I've been wearing it quite a bit. We actually just got it on Thursday, so it was just delivered on Thursday. So super
the finalized version that's going to go in all the various products.
Yep.
Oh,
the raw oil.
Mm-hmm. That's very exciting.
So I will bring this up too. I don't do this with all artisans, but I have told Chris that whenever he comes out with a release, just send it my way. Just do it. Just send it. Doesn't matter. Just pay. Just send the bill. I'll pay it. Because if you have not tried Gentleman's Nod, just do it. You are missing out. Just do it. And you can't say that with a lot of artisans. There's probably a handful of artisans where it's like, it's kind of a locked in. It's good. Just get it. And Chris is one of them.
Chris is an auto buy for you then.
Yes.
What is what you're saying?
Okay. Yes. And I truly think the only one. I mean, maybe
it's high praise,
more,
Chris.
But,
it's why we have him. It's why we have him here today.
Yes.
Well, that's actually one of the pieces of feedback that came from me from a newer reviewer in the community, and I was like, Yeah, I haven't heard that. That's really great, but I haven't heard that. So, I mean, I'm not, unfortunately, whether it's time or what, because I mean, for the most part, I do have some part-time help, but I'm pretty much it's just me. So I don't have as much time as I'd like to be really fully participate in a lot of the, communities out there. So, you know, I don't really hear a lot of that. So, you know, when I do hear something like that, it's really awesome to hear. It truly is humbling. Yeah.
If you're looking for a cool place to hang out with traditional shaving enthusiasts, come on down to the Lather Talk Discord. Share your shave of the days, mail calls, or talk about your favorite hardware or software, and just about everything in between. Once again, that's Lather Talk Discord. Check out the link below.
Kind of following that note, Chris, is Gentleman's Knot, is this a full-time endeavor too, or is it, or is there another like day job kind of thing in addition to Gentleman's Knot?
So my first step was I when we launched this, I actually maybe 6 months to a year in, I did go to a part-time job. I was actually bartending, basically just Friday, Saturday nights. And then I would say it's been at least a year, maybe more now, that I stopped doing that as well. So yes, it's full time now. Yep.
Okay. Kudos to you. I know that's tough, especially like being your own boss. And you just mentioned, you know, you have some help, but for the most part, it's all, you know, whatever time I'm sure you have is going into Gentleman's Knot work.
And I mean, and you really never stop working, you know, in a lot of ways. You're on social media, you're, you know, at home, yep. Working on, you know, whether it's design stuff or whatever it is. I mean, anyone who has their own business probably knows that it, you know, you can keep going. You kind of have to set boundaries and shut things off at some point, but yeah, for sure. But no, it's been a huge blessing. We finally moved out of my basement about a year and a half ago. And, you know, got our own. So we have a location that we have now, just the lab. It's basically three different rooms. It's kind of a big utility room used for storage and other things. And then like a pack and ship room. And then the lab room where I make everything, which is huge because now my house doesn't smell like fragrance all the time.
And I would imagine too, as you mentioned, like boundaries, especially when you are your own boss, it can be hard to set, but like having that separate space, I'm sure, right, it helps kind of keeping those boundaries, leaving work at
huge.
Work and then
huge.
Family life, you know, it's family time.
Yeah. It's like 20 minutes or so away. I don't necessarily like driving there now, but at the same time, it's definitely, you know, huge positive to not have the business in the house. Absolutely.
Okay. So, but that being said, have you ever woken up in the middle of the night with a fragrance idea and like in a cold sweat, like, and then had to like quickly jot it down? Like, has stuff like that happened to you since it's kind of always on your brain?
That's really funny. Is that a real question?
Yes. Okay. Does that describe something that happened, or?
I mean, when hasn't it happened? It always.
All right.
I mean, I can't, like when I was developing Musashi. So just so you know, I'm not a perfumer. I do work with one of the top perfume houses in the world, Mon, to create our fragrances. I'm the designer. Okay. So I design the fragrances, but they execute it, and they're ridiculously good at what they do. But when I was developing Musashi, I always have a notepad by my bed at night, but I mean, I would wake up with, you know, this fragrance note and that fragrance note, and you know oddly enough too, like when I'm at church a lot of times, you know, I'll be in the middle of like worship singing and I'm like gotta pull out a pen and like oh yeah,
no, runs out of church.
Yeah. No, I don't leave, but I yeah. I'm taking notes.
Yep.
Fully paying attention.
He runs out the door in the middle of the church. I mean,
so yeah, all
divine
all
inspiration,
the time.
Chris. Divine yeah, inspiration.
All the time.
Okay, that's so funny, guys. Is that a real question? Like, yeah, yeah. That's
that describes my brain perfectly.
Okay.
You know, I vividly remember back to when I was new in the wet shaving community, and you know, it's honestly, it's changed my life because when I was in grad school when I first started kind of into the wet shaving community, and you know, it really changed everything on the way I looked at personal care and just doing things excellently and enjoying mundane tasks in life. And and from that moment on, like, you know, I was, you know, as you guys probably remember too, like back to when you were new in the community, I mean, I went, you know, deep down the rabbit hole and became a collector of a number of different things. And but, you know, I really continued on that path and went into management in the wet shaving world. I worked for The Art of Shaving, got into actually a lot of multi-store management duties, you know, traveled around and trained people and hired people for The Art of Shaving. And, you know, it never really stopped, because then I put a soap lab in my basement and started making soap. So, and here we are. So, like, yeah. I'm still, you know, I in some senses, I'm probably not necessarily as passionate about collecting things as I was, but I've never lost my passion for the industry. And I'm a creative at heart too, so it's definitely a massive creative outlet for me, whether it's formulating new products, whether it's fragrances, you know, whatever it is, it's that's massively satisfying and fulfilling to me. And it drives me.
That's awesome.
Very cool. There from your time at Art of Shaving, and I feel like there are stories for anyone that's worked retail. Are there any past stories, whether it could be a nightmare story or a very interesting interaction, anything from those days that you could share with us on the podcast?
So I don't know. So working, you know, I mean, it's probably good I'm not working there anymore, but well, plus they only have two stores now, but
right.
So, you know, a couple of interesting stories. So, I mean, we would get so bored at our store in Omaha. And, you know, in the middle of winter, you got like a snowstorm happening, and we're in an outdoor mall in Omaha, like in the middle of a snowstorm. So it was like nothing. And like, we would make like ridiculous videos. We'd put all the like powered razors on in every single stand and just watch them like go around in circles and like take videos of like this, and it's just like just dumb stuff like that. I mean, just trying to entertain ourselves when absolutely nobody was coming into the store. So, and other things, I did get some cool experiences with the company as well. I went to Sundance Film Festival to represent the brand in a like celebrity gifting capacity. So that was kind of cool. We got to meet some, you know, some of the stars.
Yeah.
some of them were cool. Some of them were not so much. But, you know, still a cool experience nonetheless. So. There are interesting pictures of me out there with like I mean, actually some pretty big name stars. So
who is the coolest one though?
Positive. We'll accentuate the positive here.
So Viggo Mortensen was actually a really awesome guy.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad to hear that. Oh, thank God. Aragorn.
Super cool guy. And it's really interesting because so exactly what you would think, very humble and soft-spoken in real life. Mm. Kevin Sorbo, who played Hercules.
Yes.
He's actually really cool too. But also, I mean, I took pictures with Katie Couric. That one was on like their Instagram. I mean, it's still on their Instagram, I think. But anyway.
So,
it's some interesting pictures.
That's a cool opportunity. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like there's playing with the electric razor or not, sorry, the the powered razors at the store in a snowstorm and then going to Sundance. So, like, that's those are definitely. Nice. Yeah, the ups and the downs. So thank you for
I mean, the other wasn't such a downer. I mean, it was how are we going to keep each other? I mean, you know, how are we going to stay busy and, like, you know, not go crazy right now? Sitting in there for 8 hours when nobody comes in.
I was just thinking that with that visual, it's like that something like that would be popular on like TikTok. going back to social media platforms.
Yeah, I think the guy who filmed it put some like really silly like carnival music with it too.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
So, Chris, why don't we pivot to some listener questions? Not too many. We have a question from our Discord, Engineered Shave. He asks, what was your inspiration for Musashi?
So for Musashi, I mean, I kind of alluded to a little bit of it, kind of the process earlier, but I was always intrigued by, I read the, I guess it's really more of a novel by Yuji Yoshikawa. The novel Musashi. It's part biography, part novel, but, you know, just by the character himself, his life, the way he looked at life in general, a lot of the experiences that he had, just very intriguing to me. And so, I always knew that I wanted to do a fragrance that, you know, kind of, whether it's personified Musashi or gave homage to Musashi, I kind of always knew that I wanted to. So, you know, obviously with that, we're going to Japan and we're trying to find a fragrance that, you know, kind of fit. And I really paired that with my love for the fragrance of jasmine tea. And, you know, I'm not sure if, you know, any of the listeners remember when they used to have those, was it Teavana?
In the mall?
Yep.
Yeah. So they would bring out this big old tin and they would like waft the tea in your face, mm-hmm. and you just get like smacked with this wall of fragrance, which was really awesome. jasmine tea like is always a fragrance I've really just loved. And so I knew when I wanted to do Musashi, that was going to be like the, one note that we kind of developed a fragrance around. And then, you know, the concept of the origin series, bringing in different elements from that region, or just fragrances that, you know, evoked imagery from Japan in general. You know, yuzu is a kind of a no-brainer. You know, unique citrus, bitter sort of citrus from Japan. The yellow mandarin in there. Always love nashi pears, and you've got some of the like tartness and bitterness from yuzu. You're gonna definitely need some sweetness in there to round that out. So that nashi pear is incredibly sweet. If you're not familiar with the kind of large Asian pear, it's like brownish in color, brownish skin. So just kind of, and like I said, that was one that kept me up at night. I mean, I would, I don't know how many times I woke up in the middle of the night with different fragrance notes and just, yes, we need this, we need this. And that one is fairly unique in the sense that when I gave the brief, which is kind of the description and how we get the ball rolling on a fragrance with, as a designer, giving it to the perfumers at Mon, I literally gave them basically every scent note. And that's not normal for them, apparently. It's not that, like, you know, I want to give them lots of creative liberty because they're way better at this than I am. But I knew what that fragrance in a lot of ways smelled like before I ever even smelled it. So, you know, I don't know that I can say that really about any of our other fragrances. That one was sort of completed before it started. Yeah.
Well, you hit, I mean, for all the work you put into it, like, you hit it out of the park. I mean, the last year it was scent of the year for most people, and it's still, I mean, I know this was supposed to be a limited thing, like it was supposed to be like a one run thing, but people liked it so much that you kind of had to bring it back.
Yeah, and so, it sold out again. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but it sold out again.
I did not know that.
Actually, particularly in the Asian market, which is really interesting. But
I'm not surprised.
I mean, I was literally forced to. I actually was going to let that fragrance run out until next spring. I was going to bring it back, but I should get it on Monday, actually, because there's like five different wholesalers that were asking for it. And I was like, I guess I just shouldn't let this run out.
So, yeah.
To give away too many secrets too, but there is a flanker that's really far into development.
Okay. Really far, like it's moved along for, or like it's far away in the timeline?
No, there's a flanker that's almost totally complete.
Oh, hell, all right, let's go.
Let's take my buddy now.
It's funny, Chris, that, you know, you are sold out, but I did not know that until so Marcus and Sarah from the Barbershop Duet, they messaged BBS Live, and it was something about, I was like, you have to get Musashi. Like, you've tried Gentle Massage and you haven't tried Musashi. And they're like, we would, but it's sold out. I was like, what? No, he brought it back. You should have it. And no, it's sold out.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone through so much of that oil. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
That's awesome though. That's so cool.
I'm quite pleased to hear that it's doing so well in the Asian market, because I do think you knocked it out. I mean, for those who don't know, that was my favorite scent. That was my scent of the year for 2022, yeah. Musashi. Same. And I do think there's something, it hits really close to home, or like something like primal. And I feel like it's a cultural kind of thing that you're able to capture with that one. So I think that further confirms it.
It's as close to a perfect scent as you can get. I mean, I know that's biased because no scent is technically perfect, but if there is a perfect scent, that is it.
So we stick with tea, But it's very different. Okay. There'll be similarities, but it's noticeably different.
If there's a T element involved, again, just send it my way.
Also fragrance related, got one for you. Another question. This comes from Instagram at DC Pokita. Will the Bluegrass Muse EDP get a standalone release in Europe?
Standalone release. I'm not sure I completely understand that.
Is the fragrance available in Europe?
It is, but only through one vendor. And they don't necessarily order a lot of a time, particularly of the fragrances. So I know when we do send fragrances over there, they tend to go really fast. The owner of that company has actually reached out to me in the last few days, and they're wanting to place another order. I can bring that up as well, that there are definitely requests for that fragrance over there as well. Of course, he's asking for Musashi again too. So,
of course. I mean, you gotta. Should we ask the listener to maybe contact said vendor? Because I know, obviously, you know, if customers ask for some product.
Antikatura Shaving.
Okay. So DC Pokita and anyone else in the EU, please contact Antikatura. I hope I said that right.
I always watched that. That's all I knew. So Yeah.
So let them know in general, like, you know, you want to see this EDP, you want to see this particular scent that's either like always sold out or whatever. I know ordering is hard on the vendor side too. So I think in general, and people in the US can do this too, like let your vendor, your preferred vendor, know what you like. And in general, that helps them order stuff so it comes in stock.
For sure.
One more question for you, Chris, from the listeners. This one comes also from Instagram at Vintage Head Shaver. When will you make a great aquatic scent?
I think I know that guy. Isn't his name Bob or something like that?
Yeah, or Ben. Yeah. Bob, Ben.
Ken.
Yes.
When we set out to make Calabria, that was kind of my idea with Calabria. However, you know, certain things happened during the fragrance creation process. We submit the brief and get a number of submissions back and kind of go through those, wear those, and decide, which particular submission we want to move forward with. And, once that decision is made, then we usually provide feedback in terms of how we want to adapt or work on that particular submission. And so there's a process that goes along with that. And this was actually, it's definitely it gives you the somewhat of the vibe of an aquatic without necessarily having specific aquatic or watery notes, if that makes sense at all. But that's kind of the vibe we're going for. However, in that process, we had the spice element, the ginger, in that fragrance, and as a standalone, it kind of needed something else. So I suggested the cardamom in that, which brought in yet again another spice element, but really, really rounded that fragrance out, and I think made it something pretty special. But due to the spice elements of that, maybe probably pulled it even further away from a more true aquatic. So I wouldn't say that was necessarily my intention. However, it made the fragrance better. It's just kind of, you know, some of the things that happened in the process of fragrance development in general. But, you know, I love aquatics, and, you know, I'm not opposed to doing that. And, you know, I'm not ruling that out, that we won't attempt that again. And, you know, if we do, you know, I may, you know, part of the fragrance creation process too is allowing the perfumers to have some, you know, more license and liberty. Like in Musashi, there was probably less, but, and in doing that, sometimes you, it's almost kind of like going with the flow a little bit, like I said, because they're so much better at, that process than, you know, me as a designer. I may have an idea of what I want, but they, kind of move things in a direction that, maybe I wasn't intending, but I may actually like it more. Mm-hmm. So it's, sometimes it's, there's give and take, and the fragrance creation process sometimes takes on a life of its own, so to speak.
Sure.
So it's, you know, so things like that happen as well. And that, I would say, to some extent, that may have happened a little bit with Calabria. I love what we came up with, but it wasn't necessarily exactly what I had in mind at the beginning, but I think in a lot of ways it's probably better. So, you know, yeah.
I had no idea we were going to get like an in-depth look at Calabria with that question. Yeah. That was awesome.
You can, as a designer, you certainly can, you know, put your foot down and say, okay, now we got to start over. Let's just completely start over. We're going this direction. But, when you find something that you really like, it's, you know, I don't want to just, you know, shut the door on that and be like, you know, no, this is not what I'm trying to do at all. When it's fantastic. So it's like, you know, I'd rather help develop that rather than be like, no, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. I'm sure it's very hard to strike that balance. And like you said, with Musashi, you already had a very clear picture of where the direction you wanted versus kind of the broad strokes, right? Like you said, give the professionals some like wiggle room, creative license and whatnot. But I mean, you know, like we've seen in both cases, very good end result.
For sure. Yep.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I don't think Chris could have a bad result. I'm sorry. This is the
not Chris, but like if other people were in his shoes, right? Sometimes, like, when do you know to like put your foot down? Kind of what Chris was alluding to, like put your foot down versus you're like, this is not what I asked for, but I don't mind. Like, I don't mind it.
It has happened. It's happened once, and you know, we just weren't getting anywhere, and I basically had to say we've got to completely start over with this. And we actually started over with a different perfumer, and it wasn't anything about you know, wrong with necessarily that perfumer, because they're fantastic, and it just, maybe, you know, some things got lost in creation or, you know, in translation, and just couldn't come together on something. But you know, and giving the brief to somebody else, we actually have a finished product for that fragrance is coming out next summer, and it's like phenomenal. So it's a creative process on both sides, and the, you know, I think, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, things, it's an art form, and you know, from my perspective, and you know, on their side as well. And you know, if communication isn't working or something's not working, sometimes you gotta start over. So it happens.
Yeah.
That would be so hard to have a scent that you know is ready, and you have to wait a year to release it. But I get there's probably so many sense that Chris has locked down, that it's just like, yep, this is gonna be the fall release, this is gonna be the winter release, this is gonna be the, you know, spring, summer, probably, maybe not, I'm just assuming, but the fact that you already have a scent that's down, that's done, that you have to wait a year to do, that would be so hard for me to do. I would be like, no, get it out, let's just go.
Next, right. Next winter's fragrance is already done.
Winter 2024?
That... Yeah.
Jesus.
I was going to, kind of similar to Nate, I was going to ask, how far do you have the road, like the roadmap to going, like to winter 2024, or does it go
no,
further than
nothing,
that?
There's nothing beyond that. You know,
I mean, that's still pretty good.
2024 in general isn't completed.
Okay.
As of yet, but that one's completed, the summer one's completed, it's, you know, just you know, but you kind of have to get ahead of these things and like work on them quite a bit in advance, because the process itself could take you know, multiple, you know, 3-4 months, and then ordering takes another month, you know, and then yeah. If there's any delays in there, and then you got design and labels and all that kind of stuff too.
So Chris, did for this is something that we never even talked about with Bluegrass Muse, but did we kind of, when we threw out the idea to you, what did that kind of like throw out a roadblock, or like did we get bumped up in line? Like did you have other
no,
plans?
No, so there's like you know, there's I mean, if I wanted to try to work on a fragrance for release in like February, like I could do that right now.
You could do it. Okay.
If I wanted to. Okay. But yeah, and to some extent too, it's a matter of what do I have as an artisan, you know, as a business owner, what do I have the bandwidth to do in any given year? I mean, I thought it was fairly aggressive this year. We ended up actually dropping a release this year, just because I thought we were trying to do too much too fast. And so, yeah.
So I do have a question just based off of the fragrance element. When you started Gentleman's Nod, did you start out with Mon, or was that like, did you try to do your own fragrance? Was it a blend? Because I did
all of our original fragrances.
Original. Okay, so your flags, so like, yeah. Ernest and Jackie, which first of all,
yeah,
I keep on saying this, Jackie is so underrated. Get yourself a Jackie. I love that scent so much. I have the beard balm. And I want to get this because I finished it. I actually have the aftershave still, but I finished the soap. I love that scent so much. Sorry, go ahead, Chris. I'm cutting you off.
So I created all those in the beginning. And what you see is George, Ernest, Jackie, Vincent, Johnny now were actually done by Mon. So
okay.
I sent them samples of my oil that I put together, which were... It was, you know, it was my attempt at perfumery, but, you know, and I said, help me, please.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm embarrassed to send these to you. And then I even sent them the formulas, like what percentage of each like different oil was in them. And I was just like, oh, like, don't look at my face right now.
Well, no, but it's okay. So now
they took those and basically kept the essence of them, but made them better, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But that does make sense, because Bilu from the Canadian Mafia show, he had the original Ernest, was it?
Yeah.
And he, I think it was, and he said he picked up more mango, was it?
Yeah, the mango one.
Then, because I have, this had to be the one that I have, is the Mon fragrance. But, so, did...
The original was sweeter. There's actually a note in the original that's not in the the current Earnest, which is kumquat, which is a sweet citrus, very unique citrus. They're like like oblong grapes, kind of size wise.
Okay.
Anyway.
So did your whole concept change once you collaborated with George Zaharoff and then you got his fragrances and then you're like, well, and is that when Mon became a thing or was that before?
So he did introduce me to them.
Okay.
So I did an event with George where we kind of introduced a few products for him, like aftershave balm and beard oil, at a I don't know if you're familiar with Scent Explorer, but it's kind of a niche perfume event in New York City. So I went and, you know, brought our products and kind of helped George out there. And that was in 2019. Hmm. And Mon was actually there. They kind of they were part of the event as well. They were in the same room as we were. And so I got introduced to them through him for sure. And
awesome.
And then once, you know, once they agreed to work with us, there's definitely a shift in, you know, okay, we're going to let fragrance lead the way, not in the sense that we're going to stop focusing on the shaving industry at all, but we're gonna do our best to come up with the best original fragrances we can, and you know, filter those through our products as well as enter into kind of the fragrance world as well.
For sure, because you could tell the shift starting with when you collaborated with George. And then once Musashi came out, it was like I can tell when you messaged us saying that Musashi, we would ask you how's Bluegrass Muse sales compared to Musashi. It's like, you know, they're good, but they're not close. I mean, so you could tell Musashi. Is like,
nothing has been close to Musashi at this point.
Wow. Okay.
Which is interesting because I don't know. I mean, I hate to, like, you know, rank our own fragrances or anything like that. But, you know, Musashi will always have a special place in my heart. But I don't from a purely fragrance perspective, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's our best work in that sense. I don't know.
Hmm. Okay. Is there... like, do you have like a short list of candidates which you would put in front of
you? Know, it's so,
they're your children. You know, I know. It's like your children. It's like rank your children.
It's also so subjective too. Like,
right.
You know, like it might be, you know, a fragrance I particularly love. I really love the new one that's Sodoma that's coming out. It's really different from anything we've ever done, and it's different from most things I've ever smelled before. But, you know, I also, you know, still absolutely adore Juniper Reverie. You know, I felt it was pretty, you know, unique as well, just because it's a fresher fragrance that has a sweet element in the cognac, which almost comes across as, because, you know, cognac is fermented from grapes, you know, it almost has like a touch of sweetness, like a white grape coming across. But then because of the frankincense and myrrh, there's like almost a smoky element that comes into a fresh fragrance, which is like not that common. And so that one still gets me, and that one hits differently than some of our other fragrances. You talk about things being blended, so where you can't necessarily pick out one note. You talk about there's some fragrances that have massive transitions from open to mid to bass. Musashi is actually one of those. If you're talking about the perfume, but something like Juniper Reverie is different in there are transitions a little bit, but it's almost like when you smell Juniper Reverie, that's part of the name where we get, you know, the reverie aspect, but it's like you almost smell something different every time you smell it. It's like there's layers to it, and you can smell different layers like every time you smell it. There's less transition, but there's just layers there.
Yeah.
It's hard to describe.
Like, we probably don't have time to dive into this, but I feel like your background, you know, with the bartending and in general, like, I remember you always share mixed drinks and stuff. Cook and, like, have drinks, cooking, all that stuff. That is very simple. You know, you can't help but draw the parallels with fragrancing. I feel like that's big maybe fan. More, right? That's like serves as a lot of your inspirations, like spirits and liquor.
Huge.
And then how it mixes, how it blends together. Like, that's.
And I was trained, you know, my secondary training as a craft cocktail bartender out here in Omaha was, you know, by honestly some of the best in the industry, certainly the best here. But
there you go.
You know, and that's one of the biggest, you know, I mean, obviously a cocktail has to, you know, taste good, but the nose is actually, you know, really important too, and something that you can usually tell the difference between a you know, really high quality cocktail, something that you know, somebody that knows what they're doing has put together, versus somebody that's, you know, just been told or given a menu and you know, you got to put this and this in there. Smelling a cocktail will kind of show you that difference, highlight that difference.
Let's bring this thing wind down. I have so many more questions, but I said, we'd love to have you back on, Chris, if you're up for it. And
absolutely,
you might need a part two, John, for
yeah,
sure. Like this
yeah.
is like a part. I don't.
I could just keep going.
obviously, yeah. Actually, we probably should. And then you can.
I haven't even. I'm a massive Cowboys fan, and I haven't even watched the rest. I haven't even watched the rest of the game today. Going from one thing to the next, like today, and I haven't even watched the rest. I mean, where it is right now, like I've been pausing it and stuff.
How are you a Cowboys fan? From the places you've lived.
So, okay, here it is. Okay. So, Southern California, there was a certain quarterback that played at UCLA. This dates me.
I'm not a sports guy at all. So,
his first name is Troy.
Oh, yeah. What the hell? Okay. Yeah. Troy.
Yeah. So, I've literally been a Cowboys fan since Troy Aikman was drafted. So,
you know,
1989. And I've been to the Super Bowl live.
Ooh.
Sat on the 50-yard line, watched the Cowboys beat up on the Bills 52-17. I was at Super Bowl 27.
Isn't that the one where, I mean, people remember the Bills getting crushed, but everyone remembers the Bills wide receiver running down
Leon Lett. Yes.
Leon Lett. And yes. Before he gets into the end zone.
Yes, I was there.
It was a touchback. Yeah. Like, that's what everyone remembers, because it was such a blowout. Like, what a terrible Super. I mean, not for Cowboys fans, but
for Chris, it's a good day.
Michael Jackson was the halftime show. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. That is right. The first like big one, right?
Yeah,
because they always did like Mickey Mouse crap like before.
Yeah, they're losing too. It became the norm to tune out during the halftime show.
Yeah,
so they tap. Yeah,
I think he was like the first, or he was like the second
superstar.
I think
you're right, Nate. That part, no, more for the my love of music. Less so.
I also went to Texas Stadium when it still existed, watched Troy Emmett and Michael Irvin be inducted into the Ring of Honor.
That's pretty,
you know, in old Texas Stadium. So I've been a pretty diehard Cowboys fan for many, many years. It's been rough for a little while.
All right.
Yeah.
I think they played Minnesota once last year too.
They
game,
did.
Right?
They
wasn't it a good game, Nate?
No. I always have the 09 playoffs in my heart because they crushed the Cowboys with Favre, and that's what I have. And everyone was picking the Cowboys to win, and they got crushed. So I have that. Give me that.
All right. So, Chris, as we are winding down, and we've tried to do so a few times, I want to thank you so much for all your time. Nate, also, thank you for your time and filling in for today. It's been a blast. But to end on the positive note, I'd like to throw this question out. And Nate, if you want to tackle it too, you can. But for Chris, what are three things you're grateful for?
Oh, man. I am grateful for... I mean, I'm a religious man. I'm thankful for God. I'm thankful for my wife, who's probably the biggest blessing in my life. And, you know, just to keep in line with this particular show, I'm grateful for the opportunity to do, you know, for a living, what I love to do.
I mean, I can't beat that. What am I supposed to say now? No, I mean, family, like my son who just turned 2. I mean, and my wife, like, but my son, like, when you start having kids, it's like they become a priority, you know. The community, I love this community. I mean, there's a lot of people that come into the community and they leave. But I don't think I could ever be that person. Like, I don't know. I love it so much. And I'm thankful for this.
That specific bottle, or he's holding up his Knob Creek 12 for audio listeners.
In general, just bourbon, just whiskey. Okay.
Love a bourbon.
I mean, it's, I like it, you know, so I'm thankful for that.
You do. Awesome. Well, excellent answers, both of you. Again, Nate, thank you for coming onto the show today. And Chris, thank you for being our featured guest. It was so much fun getting to know more about you, about Gentleman's Nod. And for sure, there's so many more questions and topics that we could go on. So we'd love to have you back maybe in a few months, if you're up for it.
Thank you so much. Definitely appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris and Nate. And listeners, thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for your time and checking out this episode. You can find all the socials for Nate, for Chris, for Gentleman's Nod in the show notes or the video description, whichever version you are watching or listening to. And yeah, we appreciate you guys tuning in and hope to catch you next episode. So we'll see you then. Take care.
Bye.
Peace.